Let us stand then. I'm going to preach to you today about almond tree revival. Those are almond trees with the white blossoms there. Almond tree revival. May God bless it. Let's read the Word of God. Just a few verses and we'll make our way down to the words that we have not yet preached upon. Let's begin Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. Father, as I preach this day upon the almond tree that flourishes, we do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will give us some almond tree revivals in the house of God. And we do pray and thank you for it. Lord, we do pray you'd open our eyes, open our ears today. Be with the preaching of your preserved Word of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. As you know, springtime is here. Praise God for that. It's called Resurrection Day today. That's one thing that you do know, that the Lord was resurrected in the springtime. And we ought to think of that always, but springtime ought to bring to your remembrance the resurrection of our Lord, where everything begins to have a rebirth, so to speak, around us. So how fitting it is today that after we preach verse by verse, word by word, we've made it now to this phrase this week, that the almond tree shall flourish. What a beautiful phrase, a beautiful verse for springtime and this day that they call Resurrection Sunday. Now, I intend to preach today on resurrection, on revival. On an almond rod revival and all that it refers to. What you're looking at in the chapter before us is a picture of an elderly person. Their last days in this world. There's a flourishing or a flowering of the top of the almond tree. So the almond tree represents the person. The flourishing of the almond tree represents their head. And in Israel, the almond blossoms are whitish. So in all of these pictures, as the hearing, the seeing, everything leads to decay, we see the almond tree flourishing. I want you to notice, it says in Psalms 147, He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. Hoarfrost. You've seen frost that is whitish. The word hoar, hoary, in this sense, H-O-A-R, means to be whitish. Leviticus 19. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, those with white hair, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. God is serious about that business. The elderly should be honored, and God's not messing around in regard to that. Many cultures understand that and have preserved that from ancient times. In the West, it's largely lost. And what a shame that is. We're in a messed up situation in America today. Here's hoarfrost. They actually use that word. This came from some weather bureau, secular. They call it hoarfrost. Like the ice, the frost on these trees. That's what happens. The almond tree flourishes. It says in Isaiah 46, and even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. Isn't that wonderful that God's going to be with you till old age when your hair is white? Proverbs 16, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. It's very important that as you grow older, that you continue to serve God, that you continue to bring forth fruit, that you continue to love the Lord. And then what a beautiful thing it is in your elderly years to be found serving God and to be found doing what God calls you to do in those latter years. Now, we've seen when studying Song of Solomon and other inspired writings of Solomon that Dr. Solomon often gives you physical truth, physical health, scientific truth in the midst of figures and spiritual truth. I could give you so many examples, but in Song of Solomon, he speaks of the belly. And then he mentions the figures of wheat and lilies, beautiful pictures. But yet we know that the fiber and other things in wheat that's not genetically modified and full of Roundup and things like that, we're talking about good wheat. We know that fiber and foods in the lily family, such as garlic and onions, feed the good bugs of the belly in a special way. And so as Dr. Solomon is giving you these beautiful pictures and prophetic pictures, he's also giving you scientific truth. We could go on and on with that. But when we're looking at our text, the head flourishing and turning white is in the context of the weakness of old age, the bowing of the bones, the loss of balance, etc. Therefore, in one sense, it is a glory, as God says, to have the hoary head. In another sense, it is the sign of the approaching of old age and the grave, unless the Lord comes first. So just as all these other signs, whether it be vision or hearing or anything else, genetics is involved to a large degree. But ultimately, the providence of God is involved. Someone might be born blind, and the Lord made it clear to the disciples that that was due to no sin. We know sin can bring destruction to our lives and to our health. But many times, we have various things that happen to us in this world that have nothing to do with our responsibility. But what we are told in the Bible is that we can often and we should try to renew our youth in Bible ways. Bible ways. Now, not out here, this plastic world you're living in with everything fake. You can't even find somebody with a real Facebook picture anymore, and they look so perverted, you know. Everything's all backward, and somebody else's teeth, somebody else's eyes, somebody else's legs. It's just ridiculous. This plastic world that you're living in, it's a fake world. People are walking around fake, and I want nothing to do with it. You're more beautiful in your natural way that God made you than you could ever be. And I don't know why you don't understand that. Men understand it to a large degree, some of them at least. But I don't understand it. I don't understand it. But there is a way that we can renew our youth to some degree, if God permits, and it is a benefit that God commands us no matter what age you're in, whether it be your teens or your 20s or your 80s or wherever you're at. We ought to try to renew that youth to get one more day out of life, to get another year out of life. We want to see the Lord, and I understand it's a paradox in one sense. We want Him to come. And we want to have the blessings of His kingdom and all of that that's coming to this world. But we also are called to work. And we're called to be busy for the Lord. And we've got lost time to make up for. See, so we want to renew our strength and renew our youth and be busy about the Lord's work and not be idle. Now, He does tell us in Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. You ought to be full of wonderful emotions to the Lord by thinking right and doing right. And forget not all. Look at that word. All His benefits. I'm going to tell you, the churches of America are forgetting, in a large sense, many of the Lord's benefits that are in this book. God has filled that Holy Bible with many, many benefits, and what a blessing that is. Let's look at some of them that you can forget. You better not forget them. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. I mean, to get saved, you got to know that one, right? You got to believe upon the Lord Jesus and get your sins forgiven in an absolute sense, and praise God for that. But what about in your Christian life? What about in your walk? What about how you get your feet dirty? You know, a lot of people, they forget that you need to go to God and get cleansed daily. We need to go to God and confess our sins, not to be saved in eternity, but to get that fellowship with God, to get that joy full in our life, and to get that fullness of reward at the judgment seat of Christ. All right, but what about this one? He healeth all thy diseases. The charismatics have made a big deal out of that one, where they just name it and claim it and that type of thing. And it's caused many to run from that so that you don't even believe God can heal anything. Hey, you can pray to the Lord. And many Baptists down through the ages have seen great healing by coming together, anointing with oil, having the church pray and get wonderful healing. But sometimes God wants you to get healing by obeying what He says in the Scriptures. See, He gives you a means. He gives you medicine. Even in the millennial kingdom, when the Lord is walking around, present with us physically, the Bible says that there will be leaves of the tree for the natural nations, and they will be healed by the means of those leaves. How much more today? How much more today? Whatever healing you get came from the Lord, folks, but I'm telling you, there's medicines and herbs and eating, a diet in the Bible that will heal your diseases. And everything is based upon the Lord. It's all up to His providence. And He might have reasons why He does not allow that to happen, as we saw with the Apostle Paul. But I want you to notice, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed. That's Bible. That's King James Bible. And God says that you better not forget not all His benefits, and this is one of them. That you can look in the Bible and He will show you how to eat. He will show you things. Why do you think all of that's in the Bible? Why do we ignore these various verses and don't understand that our strength, our healing depends on in a large way, what you stick in your mouth? Which means the opposite is true. The devil has things so your youth will not be renewed. The devil comes so you can be weak and full of death and decay. And I'm telling you that we need to understand how to eat right. And you've heard that from me before, I'm sure. Now, as we take a look at our context of our chapter, the almond tree shall flourish. It's very, very interesting, Church of God. Just very interesting that almonds are known around the world, especially in other cultures, and they are used, and there's certain research studies to even document some of this, they are used around the world to eat and to use externally to keep your natural hair color. Very strange. At the very time Solomon is telling you that the white hair will flourish like an almond tree, you have this side picture that the almond actually will keep this from happening. And now that gives you an interpretive principle to go throughout the Bible and see if you can find other places where you have a picture that's used to describe something that might not be a good thing. Nevertheless, the very thing He's giving you is the key to at least postpone the thing He's looking at. Now, Solomon gives us many hints in poetic ways. And he'll give you a picture of old age while at the same time telling you ways to postpone it as God permits. Now, for the sake of time, we're not going to major on this blessing from the almond and almond oil internally and externally. You may research that, experiment as you desire, and report back to us. The information is abundant all over the internet. But in brief, the almond happens to contain nutrients in just the right measure, such as copper, such as magnesium, and other things that preserve your hair and enrich it. A 2005 study suggests that consuming almonds increases your vitamin E levels in your plasma and red blood cells. And we're not talking about just some vitamin E you got at Walmart that's synthetic. We're talking about the real thing found in food that God wants you to eat, see. That's why many people went out and took these multivitamins and they found out, oops, this fake vitamin E is causing cancer. And they're like, well, what in the world? I tried to eat right. Let's try to eat right with the foods God has ordained for us and make sure your vitamins are real foods and that type of thing. Now listen, researchers found many years ago, and this they know, that hydrogen peroxide inside your hair, inside the very chamber of the hair, bleaches out the color. They knew this in the 19th century. And they even knew that there's something else. They didn't know what it was. They didn't have a name for it yet. But they knew something else was inside the body neutralizing the hydrogen peroxide, turning it into water and that type of thing. They later discovered what it was. It's an enzyme, a protein, and they called it catalase or catalase. So you've got catalase in your body that goes throughout your body and breaks down the hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide is basically oxidation. What you're doing is you're rusting, so to speak. And it goes through your body and breaks that down, and then it doesn't, in regard to the hair, it does not bleach out the hair. So really, catalase is an antioxidant. Well, guess what? It's found in a super large amount in almonds. And not only does almonds have the catalase, it has the nutrients that promote that in your body. Anything that causes oxidative stress, whether it's smoking, emotional stress, pollution, junk food, can often diminish that catalase in your body. Almonds help to increase the catalase levels in your body. Years ago, I think when my dad, about a decade ago, when he was 70 years old, I began to send him in South Carolina. He's with us now, but I began to send him in South Carolina some sprouted wheatgrass and barley grass, you know, and for many reasons. And you got to watch the anti-nutrients that are in these things. But at the time, I'm like, here, this is going to help you. You don't get any vegetables. Just take these sprouted. And then he would call me back and he would say, all my gray hair went away. And I'm like, well, I didn't give it to you for your hair, but I'm not understanding that. Well, now I understand it. It has this thing in there, this wheatgrass and stuff, the same thing that are in almonds, that was helping preserve that catalase in the body so it goes through and diminishes the oxidation of the body. And there's so many things that do that are in the Bible, but the almond is especially rich in not only catalase, but vitamin E and all the omega-3s and 6s. And if you soak them at night and get up the next morning, your vitamin E is now doubled inside the almond. So let's look at some important things physically from the almond, and then we'll get right to the spiritual blessings from the almond rod. I want you to look at Genesis 43. Their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels and carry down the man. That man was Joseph, but right now he seemed to Jacob to be the king of the world at that time. He's the king of the known world, and or at least the right-hand man to the king. And carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almonds. I'm going to tell you right there, don't overlook what Jacob did. Don't overlook the divine and prophetic blessings upon Jacob and his understanding of what God had done with the nutrition of that land, that right now the whole world looks to the Middle East and the Mediterranean diet and that type of thing for the blessings for disease. And I'm telling you, they've just scratched the surface in regard to what myrrh and various nuts and this honey and almonds will actually do for you. And he gave that man a real present. Imagine when the wise men of the East brought the Lord Jesus as a child, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the best gifts you could give for the king. And now we know that myrrh and frankincense are better than gold. You know, they're more useful in many ways. And we've just barely tapped into, when you put myrrh and frankincense together, what they do for you in regard to healing. Well, we're just barely tapping in right now what almonds, myrrh, and honey and nuts and things will actually do for you. Now, Solomon is telling us, you see old age, you see the almond tree blossoming, flourishing, and I believe he has some messages for us here that are going to be a great blessing. Almonds are associated in the Bible with energy. They're associated with industry, wakefulness, and therefore knowledge, brain health, You say, why? Well, one reason is they bloom before all the other trees. They bloom early. Thus, they represent quickness of thought. While it's still cold outside in February, the almond tree begins to blossom or already has blossomed. All the other trees are pale, lifeless. But the almond tree, it's up early and ready to go. It says, let's get this spring thing going. Let's get some revival going. It's the first one to say, you know what, it's time for revival. It's time to wake up. The almond tree says, let's get going. It's a picture of being awake to God. It's a picture of being revived to God, full of energy, full of zeal in the midst of a cold world, a cold, dark world. Quickness of thought, determination. And he said, the man is an almond tree. It pictures him as an almond tree. And his head flourished like the blossoms of an almond tree. Therefore, the almond blossoms are a picture of your brain, your head, where the brain resides. Let me show you from the Word of God. Jeremiah 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? Look at that word, see. And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Amen. We need a rod of an almond tree revival. I tell you, God help us. Let us see it. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen. Okay, almond tree, well seen. For I will hasten my word to perform it. What does that mean? Why does he say, well, you see that almond tree, you've done well to see it comes from an almond tree, because I'm going to hasten my judgment, and I'm going to beat you with an almond rod, is what he's saying here. Judgment, punishment is coming, and it's not going to be slack. And to prove it's not going to be slack, he had Jeremiah see an almond tree, because everybody knew that the almond was a picture of hastening, of diligence in sight, in knowledge of the Lord. Barnes tells us, and as the almond blossoms in January, it seems to be to awake while other trees are still sleeping, and therefore it's a fit emblem of activity, whether that activity be judgment or revival or whatever it is. And I'm going to tell you, if you would let the almond tree activity be revival, it might postpone, like Nineveh found out, God's judgment. Amen? And that would be a blessing, would it not? Clark tells us, it blossoms in January when other trees are locked up in their winter's repose, and it bears fruit in March, just as the commencement of spring when other trees only begin to bud. So it's already full of fruit when the other ones are just now blossoming. It was here the symbol of that promptitude with which God was about to fulfill His promises and threatening. As a rod, says Dowler, is an instrument of punishment, the rod of the almond may be intended. Here's the symbol of the punishment which the prophet was about to announce. Well, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was that God is saying, I'm about to punish you and I'm going to do it quickly, and therefore I'm going to give you the picture of an almond tree, which is a picture of wakefulness, the picture of get up and get it done. The almond tree is early and on time and full of energy for God. Now, not only that, let's look at Exodus 37. And in the candlestick were four bowls made like almonds, his knops and his flowers. Now, why are we having almonds associated with the candlestick? What is the candlestick in the Bible? Putting aside the temple and the tabernacle symbolism, I want you to notice it says in Proverbs 20, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Your belly says, I want to go this way. Your mind, your spirit, your intellect, your understanding says, no, that's wrong. Don't do it. And God gave you. He didn't want you to walk like an animal. The church of Satan says, act like an animal and walk like an animal. Don't think about it. If it feels good, just go do it. Just do whatever the world tells you. But do not think it out first, see. And really, all of Satanism says, the very foundation of it is quit thinking. Get rid of your reason. Well, the spirit of man is the candle. When God goes to describe your mind, your intellectual mind, He calls it a candle. And what do you have over here in Exodus? You have the candlestick, your mind, associated with thinking and knowledge and understanding, made like almonds. These four bowls that are associated with it, made like almonds. I'm telling you that almonds are a picture of a quick thinking mind that is focused on God and is a readiness of mind, if you will. But let's look at the physical again now. Put aside the spiritual. Our so-called president today, there is an association with a loss of cognitive function. And many associate that with old age. And you don't see that much in the Bible, see. You don't see that much in the Bible. So that causes us to think that in many ways this is diet related. This is lifestyle related to a large degree. And pollution related. It's the decay of our world here, of our food. And we're full of pesticides and antibiotics and all of this mess. And you need to get where you can get some clean water and start eating right. And God may help you in regard to that. Now, Dr. Solomon is going to show us one of the principal ways in the natural, not neglecting the spiritual truths, but he's going to show you how to have a flourishing brain. He's going to show you how to have a flourishing brain. Not just mere hair, but what's inside the head. Obviously, if you want to have a good mind, a good brain, then we need to keep in the Word of God. You need to read the Word of God. You need to read the King James Bible from an early age and stay reading it. Don't stop reading. Keep reading the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. Godliness, righteous living, all the things you ought to avoid spiritually and physically. We understand that. All of this, everything's visual and everything is sitting down watching TV and playing with computer games instead of thinking. And these children, I tell you, they don't have a chance. They don't have a chance. You know, they're not growing up to learn how to sit and concentrate on something. And you look at a book and it's just boring letters, you know. They don't jump around and have whistles and explosions, you know. And that's very boring, so they don't have attention span anymore. So you give them drugs, which dulls their brain even more. And this is a horrible situation we're in today. But looking at just the natural, it's amazing that one of the main reasons that almonds are expensive around the world right now is because researchers and now the consumers have found out, they are rediscovering that where there's almonds, there is brain health. Isn't that ironic? No, it's not ironic at all, because Dr. Solomon's always thousands of years ahead of them all. And if you want your head flourishing, if you want your head flourishing, then you better get a hold of some almonds. Some almonds. Let's take a look here. Where are we at? Let's take a look at Ephesians. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ah, the spirit of your mind. That's certainly spiritual. It's your mind. That's your understanding. But the brain is the tool that our spirit or ghost utilizes. And we need to have good brain health. Proverbs 24, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. In the Bible, slothfulness, a lack of energy, a lack of diligence and zeal is associated with a lack of understanding. So let's look at these headlines that I mentioned. Almonds are associated with the candlestick, with light, with the quickening of the mind, with readiness of mind. And it's interesting that Solomon, when describing the person as the almond tree, shows the head flourishing. Flourishing. If you just go through various headlines today, you'll see studies suggest almonds and avocados may make you smarter. Yahoo News of India says, here's why green almonds are good for you. Green almonds are a rich source of L-carnitine and riboflavin, both of which nourish the brain cells. Here's benefits of eating soaked almonds you might not know. Almonds can be considered brain food. Almonds can be considered brain food. The importance of soaked almonds can never be overstated when discussing brain health. It's full of vitamin E, which is known to preserve memory longer by boosting alertness and preventing cognitive decline. If your brain starts having cognitive decline, caffeine is probably the worst thing on earth, one of the worst things you could ever do. Read the studies. Read the studies. You think, oh, it opens my mind. Well, just wait and see what you're going to have later on down the road here. Boosting alertness. What's the almond tree a picture of? Alertness. Readiness of mind. We're looking at the natural right now. Almonds have the same oil that olive oil has. The same fat, that is, I mean. The same fat. Brain Res Bulletin says, repeated administration of almonds increases brain acetylcholine levels and enhances memory function in healthy rats, while it attenuates memory deficits in animal models of amnesia. Tree nuts, including almonds, have shown potential to combat age-associated brain dysfunction, to prevent or delay the onset of age-associated cognitive dysfunction. Results of the present study suggest that almond administration for 28 days significantly improve memory retention. They're associated with reduce heart disease risk through their anti-inflammatory and antioxidant effects. They contain phytonutrients that support the growth of your beneficial gut microbes. They increase vitamin E levels, as we've seen, in the plasma and red blood cells. And that's been associated with helping Alzheimer's. Almonds are among the world's best sources of vitamin E. Just 1 ounce provides 37% of your recommended allowance. In a study from 2014, scientists found that almonds significantly increased the levels of antioxidants in the very bloodstream. Antioxidants help protect against oxidative stress, which contributes to inflammation, aging, diseases like cancer. So therefore, you want to keep your almond skins. You don't want to get rid of those almond skins. That's where a lot of the antioxidants are. A clinical trial in male smokers found that 3 ounces of almonds per day reduce the oxidative stress biomarkers by about 34% in just a 4-week period. Obviously, stop smoking. But you can get a picture here that if you're damaging your body and putting all of this oxidation in it and just decaying everything in your body, those almonds go in and they begin to try to put up a roadblock to the poor soul that's killing himself with pollution and cigarettes and all this other trash that's in the junk food. Eating almonds with your main meal reduce markers of oxidative damage. Studies show it minimizes wrinkles even. They've been associated with healthy weight loss. In fact, Harvard Nutrition Source says this week another large study added to the body of known cardiovascular benefits of eating almonds. Every ounce eaten daily was associated with a 3.5% decreased risk of heart disease 10 years later. Almonds are already known to help with weight loss and satiety, help prevent diabetes and potentially ameliorate arthritis, inhibit cancer cells, and decrease Alzheimer's risk. A strong case could be made that almonds are nutritionally the best single food a person could eat. Consuming nuts strengthens brainwave function. Oh, yes it does, I'm sure of that. Researchers find that nuts benefit the brain by enhancing cognition, memory, and recall. Eating nuts on a regular basis strengthens brainwave frequencies associated with cognition, healing, learning, memory, and other key brain functions. The team developed a pilot study using consenting subjects who consumed almonds, says Loma Linda, University Adventist Health Science Center. Here's a pharmacology paper, 2018. Almond, hazelnut, and walnuts, three nuts for neuroprotection in Alzheimer's disease. A neuropharmacological review of their bioactive constituents. A study published in the International Journal of Pharmacology found that repeated administration of overnight soaked almonds taken on an empty stomach can improve brain function and boost memory. Soaking the almonds simply enriches the vitamin E content of these nuts and all the other nutrients. Almond supplementation prevented scopolamine-induced amnesia in mice and improved learning ability in HFD-fed rats, respectively. Soaking led to an increase in vitamin E content of the almonds. Soaked almonds consumed without food protected memory and enhanced learning ability at a lower dose than the whole almonds in both models. It is concluded that overnight soaking, which enriches the vitamin E content of almonds, effectively ameliorates memory impairments at low doses when consumed on an empty stomach. Wow. BetterAging.com says, in a recent study published in Current Developments in Nutrition, researchers looked at the impact of eating almonds on cognition in elderly adults. They found that after 6 months, study participants who ate 3 ounces of almonds per day showed significant improvements in visuospatial working memory, visual memory and learning, and spatial planning and working memory. An earlier study from Pakistan looked at the potential for almonds in memory retention in rats. After 28 days, The rats demonstrated significantly improved memory retention. Studies have shown that vitamin E has the potential to help prevent the onset of dementia, including Alzheimer's disease. A review of clinical studies published in the journal Nutrients reported that researchers have demonstrated vitamin E can significantly delay the clinical progression of Alzheimer's disease. Oh, may your brain flourish. May your brain flourish. But we've got to take it back. We've got to get a Bible diet, and we've got to get a hold of some almonds. Amen to that. And not only that, we talked about the energy level. We talked about the quickness. The idea that the almond rod was a picture of hastiness, of getting something done quickly. Way back in 1872, Dr. Thomas Inman on the Restoration of Health says a quarter pound of blanched almonds, these were blanched, and a pint and a half of milk daily took the place of all other food for 8 months and enabled the patient, so obviously he was sick at one time, a man of 30 to walk 12 miles every morning. That would be if you got up right now from this church and walked down to Theodosia, jumped in the lake, and then walked back, and you did that every single day, and all you had all day was some milk and some almonds. I think that's energy food. I do. I think something's going on there, some type of repair that, you know, I believe Harvard was right. It might be one of the best foods that you could be eating in this day and age, especially when we've got so much pollution and oxidative stress that's rusting your body out and your brain and your brain. Remember, you say, I don't care about my body. You care about your brain? I tell you what, your brain's part of your body, friend, and it's going to be one of the first ones to go. You better look at that, and we better get a hold of it. Let's look at the spiritual now. Let's look at the spiritual. Commentators have been confused. They said, now why would you have a figure of an almond tree flourishing as a picture of the winter of old age? They said, it doesn't make any sense. We need a new translation. So they say, let's change it to the desire for almonds diminish. So you have people now all over the world retranslating instead of the almond tree flourishes, and they're saying your desire for almonds diminishes. No, let's keep the almond tree flourishes because Solomon has more than just one thing he's trying to teach us. I believe he's trying to show us something very important. Not only do we know that the almond blossoms first before spring, but let's not miss something very, very important. Wherever you see the almond tree in the Bible, you have revival or a potential for revival. You have a new renewed understanding. You have resurrection, a picture of our Lord's resurrection. It's an awakening of something coming upon you, and it might be God's judgment. But I believe the Bible is showing us that although we need to renew our youth and use our youth for God, listen to me now, there is still a whole new awakening for old age. Wow. The almond tree flourishes. Why is it flourishing in old age? Isn't Solomon's point, you better do what you can while you're young before old age comes? It is. But at the same time, the Bible's telling you that in old age, you're going to have a resurrection. You should. If you follow God, you're going to have a resurrection of your mind. And your mind is going to be used in a way that a young person can't use their mind. Why is that and how is that? Why is that? Because the elderly have something that the wisest youth does not have. And that's the wisdom of experience. Do you understand that? I don't care how witty you are or how smart your brain is, son, you don't have experience yet. And the old person is walking around with the blessing of experience, whether he did right or wrong. If he seeks after God and uses that experience in the right way, an elderly woman or an elderly man can walk up to a young person and they could say, son, I did not do what was right, and this is what you're headed for. You're going to get the same thing I got and maybe worse. Or if they did right, they could say, have hope. I did this the right way, and I got blessed. They have the experience over time of seeing God work. And the young person, their brain is barely even developed to understand consequences, which is the whole purpose of parental discipline. Folks, there's an almond tree revival that ought to be taking place in all our lives, but the elderly have a new awakening, a new opportunity to serve God in a great way because they have experience. They may not have the strength that they used to have. They may not have the hearing that they used to have. They may not have the eyesight that they used to have. They may not have the balance that they used to have, but I'm telling you something. That head can flourish like the almond tree, and it might be white with the flourishing, but it can flourish spiritually because I'm telling you, the old person can now say, you know what, I got a ministry that I never thought I would have. I got experience, and them young folks don't have any experience. I can tell them what I did wrong and how I got cursed. I can tell them what I did right and how I got blessed. I can tell them what I've learned about God, what I've learned about life, and I tell you what, every one of these young people need that. Every one of them, all of us. It says in Job 12, He removeth away the speech of the trusty, and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes, and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. Do you know, just as the mighty have strength, and God says, I can take it away, what He's saying here is it's perfectly normal for an older person to have understanding. See, that's why you could trust your parents and should. We're not talking absolute where it's just old age is just infallible and it becomes your Bible. I've had a man one time that was used by many of the greatest pastors of the world, and we were blessed to have him in our church, and he died at 96 years old. And one time he showed me something that I knew was not from the Word of God, and I had to go against that wisdom that he had. But in all other things, he was full of great, great experience and wisdom and blessed me. So keep your Bible. Keep God as the ultimate, absolute authority, infallible source in your life. But you better utilize the blessing of the elderly. You better get, and the Bible says you need to look at them as a well, as a spring, that you're going to have some work, and you're going to have to bring that bucket out and get let them, ask them questions and try to get that wisdom that they have. And you're a fool if you don't do it. You're a fool if you don't do it. The Bible says great men are not always wise. You know what that means? It means they usually are. How about that? Neither do the aged understand judgment. You know what that means? It means it's normal for them to understand judgment. It's normal. You better get a hold of what that means in the Word of God. And as an elderly person, you got to understand it's time for that almond tree to flourish. It's time for your ministry to flourish right now. You got a resurrected ministry right now. Just as everything around you is winter time and you're getting older, I'm going to tell you one thing. You awake to what God has for you to minister to these young people. You better get a hold of it. Get a hold of it. Oh, but Paul's just going to get right into it and just tell it to you as plain as you can possibly have it told to you. The aged women, it's time for you to flourish. Likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Every elderly person has a teaching ministry. They have a life of experience where they can teach. I did this wrong, don't you do it wrong. I did this right, I want you to do it right like I did. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Right now, people are just trashing family right now. They're trashing their husbands. Young women all over the place are trashing their marriages, putting their children in all kinds of damnable situations. You ought to love your children. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. It's time to flourish in old age. Amen? Isn't that a blessing? That's what God says. Whether you're male or female, you've got a flourishing ministry. Praise God. It says in the Psalms 92, My eye shall see my desire on my enemies. My ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. You're not going to flourish unless you get planted in the house of God. And you better make sure the house you're planted in is the house of God. You better make sure it's a Bible preaching, Holy Ghost preaching church. And you better make sure you're planted in it. What does it mean, planted? It means to be rooted, where you're not blown away. You don't allow people to talk you out of coming. You got to say, I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to stay in the house of God. And I'm not going to leave the house of God. It's God's institution. The Bible calls it the pillar and ground of the truth. And you better quit getting offended. And things are going to happen that are bad. But don't you get yourself offended where you just give up on the local church. You give up. Go find one somewhere. Drive across the country. Find out where God is at and where He's preaching and where the Word of God is being preached and obeyed. And you need to get in that church and stick there and stay there. And don't let the devil pull you out, because his chief desire is going to get you off the foundation. Because he knows if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? But David's not done. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. I'm telling you right here from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that Solomon, right in the middle of all of this decay and telling the young people, you better get busy, I believe he stops for just a second to say, you know what? Elderly life, you can still bring forth fruit. You still got a ministry. You still got a job to do. And it's time for you to resurrect. It's time for you to renew. And your ministry's starting all over again now. Because now you've got these young people to teach. And you've got something they don't have. You've got something they don't have. You've got experience. Praise God for that. You've got light. You've got that almond tree light and blossom that they do not have. What a blessing that is. Amen. Habakkuk, O Lord, I have heard thy speech. I was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known, in wrath remember mercy. It's time to get a revival in old age. It's time to get a revival in any age. Amen? Whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you are middle life, it's time for God to pray for revival. Pray for revival and then get busy. Then get busy. It says in Proverbs 20, the glory of young man is their strength. But the beauty of old man is the gray head. You know why? You know, there was a time back in the 20s when everybody was cutting their hair off, or at least some of them flapper women were. And I read, and I've even quoted it to you from this church, many of those women that were cutting their hair, many of those dancers and actors, they said, now when I get old and I get my beautiful long gray hair, there's no way I would cut my hair. I'm going to let it all grow back out. See, it was even in the 1920s, it was considered one of the most beautiful things you could have is that silver hair, you see what I mean? But we've lost that in our culture today. But I don't think so. If you ever see somebody with beautiful hair like that, everybody's praising them. Everybody's telling them how beautiful it looks. So don't fall into our culture and the stupidity of it. But I believe this represents more than just the beauty of the gray head physically. It represents the glory of that ministry that they're going to have in their latter days because of their experience with God, their experience dealing with God, their experience dealing with life. And you better get around them and you better utilize it and you better get them talking and you better get your notebook out and you better learn some of the wisest things you could ever learn in your life. You better go and say, you know what? What would you do? Tell me everything and write it down. I'm going to write it down. I did that. I'd go to some old pastor and say, you know what? Tell me everything. In fact, I went one day around every single old person I could find that was over 70. And I said, listen, tell me what you've learned about marriage. Tell me what you've learned about that. You would not believe some of the things that they told me and some of the blessings. And some of the same stuff kept coming up. Some of the same stuff come. You better learn that. You better learn that. Praise God for the preacher that said one time, when I got married, I set my wife before every gray-haired lady I could and had him go eat lunch with her. It wasn't his wife yet, but it was somebody he was courting. And he went to those gray heads and said, what do you think about her? And a lot of times they said, not that one. He said, okay, all right. And he went and got him another one. He said, what about this one? And they said, that's a good one. He said, thank you. And he's still with her to this day. Amen. You better learn something about experience. Amen. Why would you keep repeating the same stupidity? Isn't that the dumbest thing that a young person can do? Boy, it just doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't make sense. You got a precious treasure as an elderly person and as a young person. You got to rise up. You got to respect that. Oh, there was a young fool named Rehoboam. It said in 2 Chronicles, but he forsook the counsel which the old man gave him and took counsel with the young man that were brought up with him that stood before him. And oh, he lost his kingdom. He lost his throne. And that's how you'll lose yours. That's how you'll lose your crown, by being stupid like that. You better seek for the old path and you better listen and make sure it's from the Word of God, but you better listen to what the old folks tell you. I'm telling you, nine times out of ten. In Numbers, it says in the book of Jude, in the last days, they're going to be like the children of Korah. They're going to rise up in rebellion against authority. And the Bible says that they're going to despise government. They want nothing to do with church government, with family government, with self-government. In other words, it's rebellion is king in the last days, you know what I mean. And I'm telling you, there's a time to disobey authority when there's higher authority in the higher chain. You understand? Always put God first and put all the higher authorities before the lesser authorities. In other words, it's important. You could disobey an authority if a higher authority tells you to do right. So you need to understand that. Authority is not absolute unless it's God. However, the Bible said in the last days they're just going to rebel against the whole chain. They're going to rebel against authority. They're going to be rebels like the children of Korah. And what they did, the children of Korah tried to lead a rebellion against Moses. And they said, you know what? We can do what you're doing and you take too much upon you. Let's read about it. In Numbers it says, they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? If we're all able to be used by God, why should there be any authority? You know, one of the first things, Watchman Nee's right, one of the first things that God taught Paul, made him blind. He had to go to somebody to get his sight back. And he had to submit himself before him and get direction from him. You know what? I tell you what, Paul started his ministry off right. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, God utilizes means and He utilizes His support structures. He utilizes your submission and your humility before those ordained authorities that He's put in your life. Whether it be the elderly, whether it be your parents, whether it be your pastor, whatever the case. We don't want the children of Korah rising up. But the Bible says that's a sign of the last days. They'll be like the children of Korah. And you know what happened? You know what happened? Moses said, everybody get away from the rebels. And that's what you ought to do today. If you're around a rebel that's telling you to disobey authority, and we're not talking about wicked authority. We're not talking about people that are telling you to do wicked things. But when they're just telling you to be rebellious against your parent, rebellious against your church, rebellious against God's Bible, you better do what Moses says. Moses says, get away from them. You better get far from them. Get away from them. And I'm going to tell you, the earth opened up her mouth, and they all, I'm telling you, their whole families, everything, went down into the earth. Oh, that's sad. Then the earth closed up on them. But God wasn't done. God wasn't done. God sent a fire. And the fire began to burn and run. And anybody that had been associated with them burned up. Now the people were in shock. Boy, they were sober now, right? Man, they're sober. But yet, they still had some trouble. They still had some trouble. Number 17, speaking to the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And it came to pass on the morrow, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. What type of dead rod was that that he was holding on to? It was an almond rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels. So what's the almond's rod? What is the almond rod? The almond rod that budded, and not only budded and bloomed, it yielded almonds. I tell you what, that's a testimony against all rebellion. There's people that have even wrote in books, the almond rod, God's church authority, vindicated. There's people that have seen all down through the ages that God vindicated His ordained authority. God vindicated His way. God vindicated the old paths. God vindicated what He has chosen in opposition to what the world has chosen. That Aaron's rod that buds can represent Jesus Christ, the stone that was rejected but chosen by God. It represents the new life under the authority of Christ. You don't walk as you used to walk, according to your feelings and whatever you wanted to do. It's the new way in Christ, going the way God wants to go, and it brings forth fruit. It brings forth fruit. I tell you, that's the pure mind. That's the mind that's full of revival, and that is renewed. It says in Jeremiah, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it." There's a hatred for authority in this age, Church of God. There's a hatred for reproof. There's a hatred for God's judgment and God's discipline. That's why so many people hate the book I wrote, the rod. Will God spare it? They hate all idea, any type of accountability, wherever it is, in the home, in the church, in the personal life. And what they're going to receive is they're going to receive the almond rod. They should have received the reproof and not had to experience the rod. However, they rejected the word, so now they're going to have to hear the rod. Now they're going to have to hear the rod. It says in Micah 6, "The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it?" Let me tell you something, young person. If you're still asleep, wake up for me, because I got to tell you something very, very important. Every one of you. Every one of you. Anybody listening, I want to tell you this. If you don't hear the word, there's going to be a time when you'll have the strength or the ways to get out from under the word. But you'll never get rid of the Holy Ghost. And you'll never get out from under God. Where shall you flee from His presence? And I'm going to tell you, if you're not going to hear the Word of God and everybody that has reproved you, if you want to be a fool and you want to scorn those that have reproved you, then you're going to have to hear the rod. That doesn't mean you will hear it. That means now you enter the new school of hard knocks. And oh, it's a long school. Right when you're saying, "God, I'm done with the hard knocks. I want out of here." Oh no, you still got more learning. You still got more learning. And I tell you what, there's people that even though they go through hard knocks, they say, "No, I don't believe that's from God. That's just bad luck. Because everybody's being a blessing to me. Everybody's patting me on the back and strengthening me. So I don't have to worry about it." I'm telling you something, you better learn to hear the rod. If you want revival right now, revive yourself. You say, "That doesn't make any sense." Well, what do you mean it doesn't make any sense? What do you mean it doesn't make any sense? God told a lame man to stick his hand out. God told a lame man to take up his bed and walk. God told Lazarus, who was dead, "I command you, come forth out of the tomb. Lazarus, come forth." God commands you to revive. You say, "Well, I can't do it. You know, I need God." Of course you need God. You need God to get food. You need God to plant something and have it grow. You need God for everything. We need God for it to rain outside. Nothing in this world is just automated. You understand that? God's running the whole machine. So what I'm telling you is this. If you want revival, you've got to draw nigh to God. And you've got to trust God to give you the power, but you've got to get out here and obey God and revive yourself. You understand that? Pray for revival. Ask God to bless it, but then you go obey God. Wake up. Hear the word. Hear the rod. Whatever stage you're in, if the almond rod is already on you, hear it and get moving and get busy for God. And oh, He'll bless you. He'll bless you. It says in Proverbs 29, "The rod and the reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." There's a lot of shameful mothers today, because they've neglected the almond rod of chastisement. The Bible doesn't say the reproof gives wisdom. It says the rod and reproof. If they've already broken what you've told them, then they need discipline. Then they need to be reminded. But what you've got parents doing is turning that upside down. They're saying, "Reproof, reproof, reproof. Don't do that. Don't do that. I told you not do that." And they're chasing kids all around that have become masters of the home. And you've got the same thing going on in every other realm. Whether it's the family, whether it's the church, whatever it is, everything's backwards and upside down. But I'm telling you, whether it's the word or whether it's the rod, you better hear it. You better hear it. David said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Praise God, he responded to the word. Some of you may have been afflicted, and that's why you're here. Praise God for it. Some of you are walking with the Lord now because you've been afflicted, and you're here. Some of you are still tempting God, and you have not yet experienced fully God's rod in this life, but He loves you so much, He's not going to let you go. He's not going to let you go without the Word, I'm telling you, without the rod. But you've got to respond to it. You got to respond to it. Hebrews 12 says, "No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." That means you have to draw near unto God and let the rod do the work that God has sent it to do. "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees." This refers to all the sin that you need to fix now that God has chastised you. This refers to the sobriety. You need to get moving. You need to get off your bottom and start getting busy for God and start getting obedient for God. And that's revival. That's revival. And somebody's going to say, "How did you get revival?" You say, "God sent the rod after me and I learned the hard way." Don't you do it. Don't you do it. You better stay on fire. You better stay on fire. We need it, folks. Ephesians 5, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead." That's your command today, and Christ shall give thee light. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." 1 Corinthians, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness." That's your command. "And sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God." I speak this to your shame. Oh, let me tell you one more thing here as we close. Let me tell you one more thing. We need a revival of respect for the elderly. We need a revival of understanding of our need for the aged, for their experience. We need a revival in respect for God's ordained authorities. We need a revival in our lives by letting God's chastening work in us, by letting patience have her perfect work, by letting trials purge us. If need be, we are in heaviness for a season. I'm going to close with three verses for you here. Romans 5, "Not only so, but we glory." We glory. That means rejoice in tribulations also. That's hard. I don't know if I've gotten to that point yet. I tell you, glory in tribulations. But I believe what it means is, even though it hurts, you see the good that God is using it for. "Knowing that tribulation worketh patience." You never have the opportunity to be patient unless you go through some trial. "And patience, once you get through it, brings experience." Now you can say, "I've been through this trial before. Oh, I've been through this before. I've been through things like this. Maybe not exactly like this, but I've been in a situation where I had to be patient and wait on God, and it was so hard, and then God came through in the end when I trusted Him." That's what you got to do. That's experience. That's what a lot of old people have, and experience brings hope. So next time you go through a trial, you can say, "You know what? Everything's going great. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. But wait a minute, you're going through a hard time. I know, but God's got me out of all the other messes. He'll get me out of this, and it's going to be a blessing." So I have hope. I have expectation that God's going to be a blessing. And what brings that? Just walking with God. And the older Christian has a lot of that, and he's going to be able to give you some hope where you can smile and say, "I've been here before." Right now, you're young, some of you, and you're learning to walk in patience. And some of you haven't learned that yet. Some of you have not learned that, so you have zero experience. You better get you some patience in these trials that you're going to have. And you're about to go through a lot of them if you mock God. And you're going to get a lot of experience if you respond to those trials in the right way. Habakkuk, praise God, the prophet could say, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Somehow or another, Habakkuk had learned through experience that it looks bad, but I'm going to keep trusting God, and it's all going to work out. It's all going to work out. Oh, praise God for that hope. May your heads flourish in that remembrance. May your spirit revive like elderly Jacob did when he saw the great wagons that Joseph sent to bring him to Egypt in. May you see signs of hope like the blossoming almond tree and what is left of winter, reminding us that spring is near. Maybe you're in the winter of a life, the winter of a trial right now. It's cold and it's dark, and there's hardly no sign of hope whatsoever. I think if we look and if we watch and we see clearly, we can see some signs of hope that somehow or another God's going to turn it all for good if we love Him and obey Him and wait on Him, even though we don't see why. Look for the almond tree budding. Look for that sign of resurrection that God's going to fix it. You know what? At one time, all Paul had was the coming of Titus. And he said, when Titus came, we were so refreshed and comforted. Maybe God will send a person into your life and they just refresh you. And that gives you that hope that you need. That's why you ought to be in church and around Christian people. You know, you're not going to get no hope out there in the dark world. You're not going to get it. My last verse for you is in Matthew 16. Do you not yet understand? Neither remember, says the Lord, the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? They had a problem. They had a trial. How are we going to feed all these people? And the Lord had to give them a slight rebuke. You don't understand yet? You don't have the almond tree understanding? You don't have experience with me to already see? Have you not already been through this before? So I'm going to tell you, folks, I'm going to remind you, look over your life already. Write it down in a journal. Try to see the things that God has already got you through. Encourage other people with that wisdom. And you hold on to it and remember it. Dear Holy Father, we give you thanks for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to never die again into a glorified body. And you've given us that hope, Father, that every believer will have one on the last day, Father, to never die again and have all tears wiped away. Will there be no more pain and no more death? But Father, you've also given us this blessing of the 1,000 years. We're blessed and holy is he that has part in that first resurrection. May we be ready early, Father. May we be ripe early like the almond tree, Father. And may we take a picture of this almond tree, and may the elderly flourish in their latter days. May they use their experience wisely. And may we, Father, hear your word so we don't have to hear the almond rod that's going to come quickly upon our life if we are rebels. And Lord, if we're already there where we're being broken and purged and chastened, may we respond to it and acknowledge and reverence you, Lord, that you may minimize the affliction. Now bless every person here. May they have hope, either on their past experience or what they see in the Word of God or the experience of others to encourage them. Jesus' holy name, amen.